Yes, hello everyone. Hope everyone's well. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, the Investor Mel and Dave Show on Wednesday. Today we will be talking about the life cycle of every deal.
Yes, and this is something that is very important. We get asked numerous times a week or a day. A lot. Actually, we get asked a lot.
How many times a week?
Yeah, and we like talking about the life cycle of the deal. So that's why people ask us, I guess. But yes, there's definitely a life cycle. And once Mel and I truly understood that every deal has a life cycle, it shifted the way we kind of saw a deal. And it made us realize, you know, some people think that if it's not this type of financing or that and this, it's not good. But again, every deal has a life cycle. And once you understand that, you become more accustomed to being okay with creative financing and different types of financing.
Yes. And let's maybe define. So for those who are fairly new to us on Instagram, what does this mean, right? This life cycle of the deal. What does that even mean, right? Is it went from purchase? Is it finance? So what are we referring to here, Dave?
Good point. So the life cycle of the deal, in my opinion, is truly from finding it. Okay. So finding the deal, analyzing, get it under contract, purchasing the deal. And when you purchase it, this is where it becomes, you know, the most important part is getting the financing, right? Everyone always seems to, how do I get finance? How do I get 100% finance? How do I get creative financing? Well, this is where the life cycle of the deal will come into play. So it'll be that, you know, getting it financed and then getting the renovations up, the rents up, making it a better cash flowing asset. And then getting to that refinance to be able to pay out the creative financing and to have it at a better financing rate. So that's kind of it. And if you want to go even further, the life cycle, you know, there's also a second refinance down the road, right? Think of these income properties as almost an ATM machine.
Yes.
That will continue to give refinances.
And that's the thing. It's almost like there's more than one life cycle because you kind of do it and then, okay, now it's at a different stage and you do it over again. And there's another circle, another circle, depending on the stage of where you're at.
Exactly. So today we're going to be talking about that. And I want to start off, Mel and I were discussing, you know, where do we go? Where do we start off with this subject? And I think it'll be important to discuss different types of financing, different types of lenders. That way people will have a grasp of when we say different types of lenders and that, what exactly we're talking about.
Right. Yes. So let's start off with A-lenders. So those are typically the ones where the interest rate is best. So quite often it's people's favorite choice to go to quite naturally because they are A-lenders. It's overall better interest rate. So the A-lenders, what does that mean? It's your traditional bank. So the five big banks here in Canada, the four big banks in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also CMHC here in Canada is basically like AAA financing, right? So they give a higher loan to value, they give a longer amortization, and they give amazing interest rates. And we can speak to this because we just did a massive $4 million refinance with them in March.
During COVID. Yes. Yeah,
so we're never going to stop saying that.
Yes. No, because people kept saying, oh, are you stopping? Or I'm scared. Like we're progressing, right? We're not taking this time to slow us down. We're making progress every day.
Yeah. So the A lenders will be your typical, you know, you see them on every corner in the city, not every corner, but you see them in every city. So that'll be your A lender. And the A lenders, as great as they are, and we utilize them in different instances, and again, we'll get into that, they do not allow creative financing. So right away, when Mel and I are doing our deals, and hopefully you're doing it the same way as well, when you're doing those creative finance deals, don't even think of going to them because it's a hard no.
Yes. And we get this all the time. Well, you can't do creative financing because nobody's going to do it. And it's like, well, no, not nobody's going to do it. A lenders won't do it. Doesn't mean it's nobody. So if you've been thinking that, or if you've watched some of our videos about creative financing and how we grew a portfolio, yes, it is doable. No, we don't go start off with A lenders because when we use creative financing, they're not the beginning of our life cycle. It just won't happen.
Yeah. And actually something, Mel, that we should have said initially is as we go down the line, it's not necessarily down the line, okay? It's just different segments of the market and different financing. So we're not saying A lending is better than anything else. We're just saying it has its place. And then the other lenders have their place as well. None is better than the other.
That's a great point.
Because people think it goes down. No, it's all more like left to right.
That's as opposed a very good point, because we love the B lenders. And I don't know if you want to call them C, because then it does sound negative.
There's a negative connotation.
Well, it's like school. You get an A student. You got a C student. Yeah. The A student.
Right, it's funny because it's true.
But good point. I'm glad you said that, because you shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't think, oh, great, now I have to go to BRC. BRCs are great if the deal still makes sense and enables you to grow your portfolio. That's what we've used to grow. You know, when we bought the 12 and 12 months using them for our own money, I'm glad that the BNC lenders were around to help us. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that being said, it's not going down the ladder. It's going sideways. But the B lenders. Okay. So B lenders or credit unions. Again, I don't know exactly how you want to specify, but just know. Basically not the big five. So the other institutions that will do it, have their place as well, right? So credit unions, they're great. They're still institutions, obviously, B lenders as well, still institutions, great lending power, all that stuff. So that is kind of the second, place you would go and ask for financing from. And then the next step would be your, you know, mortgage brokers who have access, and mortgage brokers obviously can access A lenders, B lenders, all that as well. But mortgage brokers will help you with the next in line for financing. They'll be able to link you up with private lenders, private investors, because every mortgage broker has a couple of, you know, people where they have money, but they don't have the time and they want to invest in real estate and make passive income. So, and then there's also the people that you'll find privately, right? You'll find a private investor yourself that are willing to do, what's the word I'm looking for here, Mel? Promissory notes.
Absolutely. And promissory note, what is a promissory note? It's a fancy term, which I don't really like that term necessarily, but it's a contractual agreement to loan you.
I like that so much better.
Yes, it seems more professional. I know. The promissory note seems like I promise to pay you back. No, it is a contractual agreement. Everything's legal. We've done that very often where people lend us money to help fund our deals. It's a win-win. They make awesome money on their money. We are able to continue to grow our portfolio. It's a win-win partnership. We pay them back. And the majority of the time, of course, they come back and we do it all over again. They make money. We make money. Do it all over again, right? So it's well,
there's two of them right now where we've just paid them back in the month of, July?
Yes.
And they're already saying, all right, what are we doing next? So it's a good problem to have.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's going to naturally happen as you learn to, of course, you always have to make sure if you're going to use somebody's money, to have your exit strategy. Oh, yes. And we're huge on that. We always have plan A, B, C, D to pay them back. We show them our exit strategy, and that's why they are willing to do contractual agreements or promissory notes with us.
Yeah. So now that you guys understand kind of the different types of financing that we're going to be speaking about today, let's start getting into the life cycle of a deal. Okay. Now we are going to utilize an example, let's say of a deal that Investor Mel and Dave would do. Okay. Did I just talk about myself in the third tense? That we would do.
I wasn't going to point that out, but I'm glad. Yeah. I'm kind of glad you did.
Talking about myself in the third tense. I kind of sidetracked myself. Yeah. So that being said, let's talk about a deal that we would do. So what deals do we like doing? We like doing deals that are creative financed, whether it's seller financing, owner financing, vendor take back, which is all basically the same, right? Where the owner will be participating. Or if we're going to have an institution that allows creative financing and we're going to be using other people's money, OPM, to fund it. So let's use that because that's our bread and butter. A creative finance deal is the example. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not get into the number of doors or price. Let's just talk about it overall. So we get a deal into contract. We want to buy it. Now we need financing, and let's use owner financing. Okay.
Yep.
So now what do we do? Are we going to the A financing?
No.
Because we know the answer is going to be no. Right. Why would we waste their time? And more importantly, our time. If we know it's going to be a no, okay, we'll see you later down the road when the deal comes to fruition.
Exactly. We already know that's not part of our path. So we're using owner financing. All right. Again, and it's not, we have to go down to this level. No, we're going to the next lender, B lender, C lender here to help fund the deal.
Yeah. So usually what we'll do is, depending where we're at with the credit unions, or with other lenders that allow creative financing or owner financing, we'll go to them because the rates will be a little bit better than the next options. But I'm not saying the next options are not good. It's just If you can save a little bit of money, why not?
Yes.
But if they, so if they say yes, perfect. If they get financing, and like we have credit unions that allow us to utilize owner financing as our down payments. So perfect. They give us the lion's share, whether it's 75 or 80%. And then the owner holds the remaining balance of 20 to 25%. So that's how that deal would get financed. Is it as great a terms as the A lender? No, but the deal is still getting financed. Now, if they happen to say no, so I'll talk about the initial. If they happen to say no, then we'll go to the next person in line, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which will be, you know, we'll call a mortgage broker. And they'll have access to all sorts of credit unions. They'll have access to all sorts of, there's different types of lending. There's even mix. Mortgage investment corporations where they can access them. It's people that pull their money together and lend it out on mortgages.
Exactly. And that's the thing. There's so many options. And we hear it all the time. People say, well, I can't do it. I didn't get approved for financing. And my question to them every time is, how many people have you tried? How many institutions?
Yeah.
And it's usually one or two.
We almost know the answer before.
Yeah. Well, I've tried one and they said no. I'm like, oh boy, if we would have stopped at one or two,
jeez,
we would not be... We wouldn't be where we are now with our portfolio, right? It's a reality. But it's knowing that just because you have one or two, there's so many other options. And there's the money as well that you can find just through your own network, right? Attending conferences, being out there, letting people know that you are putting their money to work through, mm-hmm. right? So through the promissory note, for example, or even RSPs and different options like that.
Yeah. So let's keep going down until we get financed. So you could have stopped there, get financed, and then your life cycle of the deal starts. But let's show the other examples. Let's say the mortgage broker finds you financing, and then you have to use, let's say, promissory notes or someone's RSPs as the down payment, you know. So you're truly using 100% OPM, which is what we love doing.
Yes.
And what we show our action family, our mentees, how to do. So now you've gotten into the deal. Is it the most attractive interest rates? Maybe not. However, if the deal still makes sense, you still do it. And now you still own and control the asset, which is eventually going to come up in evaluation and come to fruition.
Yes. And yes, it should cash flow from day one. We often get this question when we talk about credit financing and interest rate and B lenders and C lenders. And yes, in our opinion, absolutely. Deals should still cash flow. Once in a while, there's an exception to that. And that's only if you have a portfolio already that can sustain it and you see a huge lift. So there are exceptions to the rules, of course. But if you're brand new getting started, absolutely. You want to be cash flowing from day one.
Yeah. So you work your way down the line, get into the deal. And then once you're in the deal and you start doing things, you're going to work your way back down the line, okay? And let's do examples. We'll touch on every facet again, every gamut. So you get into the asset. Now what do you do? Now you need to get it up in fruition. So we talk about our A-plus strategy, right? So it's, you know, the plus sign. Buy an underperforming building, so down. Do what's left to make it right to bring it up to fruition. So what do? You get the rents up, right? As tenants change over, again, you're doing this legally, morally, and ethically. You're getting the rents up, right?
Yeah. And often you make it a win-win for the tenants as well. So this is not, often people think it's a bad thing. This can very much be, there's ways where you make it a win-win for you and for your tenants as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing you can do is you rehabilitate the property, depending if there's tenants there or not, if it's a total gut job or if it's just, you know, doing some exterior paint, doing the roof, but doing renovations, rehabs, renos, to up the value to get it up to
yes, and it's strategic renovations, right? What is going to help you increase that rent, right? Maybe it's the countertop, maybe it's painting, right? Those kind of renovations where you're not spending a tremendous amount of money, but it still makes sense.
Agreed, yeah. And then after doing that, your building will have gone up in evaluation, okay? If you get the rents up and you do some work on the building, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a more...
Is it in a good market? It should be, right?
Yeah. So disclaimer, right? Do your due diligence. Now, if you were with private lenders and you were with private lenders, private investors, and the deal hadn't come all the way to fruition, but you needed to pay them out, what could you do? You could start working your way back. You could now go see a credit union because maybe the ratios weren't there initially. And they said no, they were okay to creative financing, but the ratios were not there. So they were no. Whereas the other people, maybe they didn't mind that. So now the ratios are there, but it's still not all the way up where you want it. Okay. So let's do this. Let's go to the credit union. Hey, now I meet your ratios. You're okay with creative financing. Let's do a refinance, or let's bring it over to you. Now we can pay back the other people, and you're kind of making your way. You're starting to make your way around for the life cycle.
And for some people, it might even be depending what their specialty is or where what lane they decide, it could be even selling at that point, yeah. right? As opposed to refinancing. We've done that a few, not often,
I know.
A few times. Often our plan was to sell. That was our predicted life cycle. Okay, we're going to sell. And then as it came closer, we decided, we want to keep the cash flow. Let's just refinance and keep it part of our long-term wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're buy and hold people, so we have a hard time selling.
But essentially, that could be one option.
Could be an out.
It could be, okay, now I sell it and I use that money to buy my next one. We for sure prefer to simply refinance and keep that property and then put that money to pay back the lender. And there's always, of course, some money left and put it towards the next deal.
Yeah, no, that's a great exit strategy, Mel.
Yeah.
Now, let's say... Okay, so you didn't get up to fruition all the way, so you had to go to the credit union or the B lenders. They lend you, and then, you know, let's say you keep on working to get the evaluation up, and then you can bring it to the A lenders to get the evaluation. You could also do, a lot of times we do this, we go with the credit unions, we get the building up in evaluation, then we go to the A lenders, and we say, hey, the building, I bought it here, I got the rents up, I did all the work, you know, I did the life cycle of it, now I've jacked up the evaluation. I've gotten my lift, which I bought it here. It's now worth here. So I lifted the building literally in evaluation. Now it's time to refinance with an A lender. So the A lender, that's when they'll look at it. They'll see that you have some creative financing. They understand that you bought it that way, but they will also understand that you'll have to understand that that cannot stay that way. They're going to give you the financing, give you the funding. You need to pay off the other finance and have no creative financing on that building now.
Absolutely. And one other question as you're talking, Dave, I'm thinking quite often we get when we're, again, discussing these is, do you disclose if you're using any kind of private funds, should you disclose it to the financial institution or the lender? And the answer is 100%. Absolutely. Don't try to sneak. Don't try to hide information because it certainly can and likely will come bite you when you least expect it. Be transparent with your lender. You want to create a long-term relationship. Your real estate investing is a long-term wealth building machine, but you want to make sure that your foundation is really, really strong. And if you're starting it off with lying and deceiving and giving false information, it's going to come crumbling down. So really, really be transparent and truthful with everyone.
And sorry, the parent in me, I'm laughing because we have this talk with the kids. Everything always comes out eventually. Just be honest and truthful because mom and dad are going to find out eventually.
Yeah, if you tell us now, we're not going to be upset. But if we find out later that you lied, then the consequences increase.
And I'm sure if you're out there and you're a parent, you're thinking the same thing. But so that being said, yes, again, as you do your real estate investing, always legally, morally, and ethically, and then you'll always be okay, right?
Yes.
So that's where you'd come in. You know, you start here, you do what's necessary, then you bring it to the A lenders. And then your deal has been refinanced. It's come to fruition. You've made it a well-oiled machine that continues to produce income every month. And then 5 years down the road, you know, when your turn comes up, I'm sure it's gone up in evaluation again. You refinance it again. That's the beauty of real estate is if you keep it and it becomes a buy and hold strategy, which is what we specialize in, your buildings, once you get them up to fruition, they will eventually become never-ending ATM machines. You know, it might not be every month, but every couple of years, it'll refinance. You'll get cash flow every month. And that's the beauty of it.
Yes. And if people are thinking, well, what about debt? That means that you have a lot of debt. And yes, we love debt. We love debt. Good debt. That's what made us financial free, was using good debt to our advantage. So yes, using that mortgage, taking out that money and putting it to work for us, not taking that money and buying all our toys. That comes with time after you have a large enough portfolio, and that's where you'll get that freedom. But to start off, you want to use that money to help you generate more money and putting it to work over and over again.
Absolutely. So again, that's an overall way of doing the life cycle of the deal. Every deal has some sort of life cycle like this. We kind of gave you a wide range of examples. And this is the fun part. As you do it, you know, it's kind of like books. And I should use the example of books. But once you've done it, that property, you know, now sits up on the shelf. It's a nice property. It's shiny. It's making money. You almost set and forget, right? And it just keeps happening. And then with that, with the refinance, like Mel said, just keep buying buildings. You just keep repeating. It's almost like a life cycle of purchasing as well. Buy it, bring it up to standard, get it to the bank, refinance. Okay, now it's running smoothly. Now let's do it again and again. So that's what we love doing. That's what we truly specify in. And you'll see the life cycle of the deal.
Specialize in. Close
and,
enough.
Yeah. So the life cycle of the deal happens, and then the life cycle of purchasing and refinancing buildings happens. And that's where wealth is created.
Yes, absolutely.
You're literally creating money by lifting the building in evaluation. I love when we get the refinances.
Yes.
It's like we've just created money.
And I love that it's a circle. At least that's how I visualize it. It's a circle. So, you know, might there be little bumps in the circle, but there's no stop, right? You might get roadblocks, but there's not a dead end.
Yeah.
It continues. So wherever stage you're at, if you're determined to find a solution, you'll be able to get through that circle over and over again. If you do due diligence and, you know, you have the right content and right information, of course.
And again, the parent of in me.
Oh, gosh.
As you're saying it, I'm thinking Lion King. The circle of life. Anyway, too many Disney movies, guys.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to cut it right here. That's enough singing for Dave for today. So awesome. So that sums it up for life cycle. Unless you had somebody else, I kind of cut you short there, Dave.
No. That was kind of the wide variety. Don't ever count out a way of financing because they all have their place in that circle. Okay. None is better than the other. They all help you in different segments. They all charge different interest rates. They all have different terms, but they all have the opportunity to help you purchase real estate using creative financing, which will help you build wealth.
Bang on. Well said, Dave. Awesome. Let's see if there are any questions at all, Raphael. We're good?
We're good.
Awesome. Awesome. So
I guess we made it crystal clear.
Wow. Excellent. Perfect. Awesome. So we're going to go have some lunch right now before we go
finish
live
up my Starbucks
Action Family.
So anyone who's watching that's part of our mentorship, our Action Family, thank you for tuning in and everyone else as well. And we will see you soon in the Action Family Weekly Mentorship Group.
Awesome. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye for now, everyone.